Let us pray for an awareness of and inspiration from God's Spirit. We are hungry, O God, for truth, for justice, for love. Nourish us this day with better food than we could ever purchase, engineer, or manufacture. Your word, your love, your Spirit. Your daily bread for our life's journey in the company of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading today comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 26 through 39. Listen for the word of God. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The eunuch replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. In the very first chapter of the book of Acts, we're told that there's a command to the apostles that they will deliver the good news to all of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Last week, we heard the story of the beginning of the expansion of the church, that there was some discord between the Hellenist or Greek-speaking believers and Hebrew-speaking members. And so the community had begun to expand and conflict arose. And in that story, in order to focus on their preaching and in order to serve the community well, the apostles gathered and selected 8 Greek-speaking leaders to serve the Hellenists, the widows, that to make sure they got their fair share so the apostles could continue on with their preaching and teaching. And so they selected these 8 Greek-speaking leaders, 2 of which were Stephen and Philip. And they will have a lot to do with preaching the word and spreading the good news. As I mentioned, those that were commissioned to go from Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, that is, the apostles, well, they don't quite pay attention. And they simply hang out in Jerusalem while everyone else gets pushed into the commission and mission of God in Judea and Samaria. Right before our reading today with the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip is not waiting on tables, but he's preaching in Samaria. And then the Spirit moves even further. The Spirit prods Philip to go out into the wilderness. Now, this is not the first string team. It's not the varsity apostles, but it's the second round or the junior varsity. It's the deacons. And they're away from the central activity of the church in Jerusalem. So Philip is sent out without knowing what he will find or even what he's looking for. And he's sent into the wilderness, into the desert. And once there, the Spirit then directs him toward a chariot, and he hears someone reading scripture out loud. It's an Ethiopian eunuch. These men, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, could be no more different from one another. They're different in race, in ethnic group, in language, and in status. You have an itinerant missionary preacher and a court official. And then there's the fact that the Ethiopian is a eunuch. And we're told that he's coming from Jerusalem and having come from worshiping there. Now, Luke's readers, the person who wrote Acts, would know that this Ethiopian official would not have been permitted to worship inside the temple in Jerusalem, not because of his race or nationality, but because of his sexual identity. A eunuch typically refers to a person who has been castrated, often early enough in life to have significant impact, though it may also refer to a man who is impotent or celibate or otherwise unlikely to procreate. But the important thing is that it's against the religious law for a eunuch to worship in the temple. Isaiah, however, who he is reading, envisioned redemption for the sexually ambiguous or sexual minorities. In the restoration of God's people, eunuchs would be brought within God's house and given a name greater than sons and daughters. God's embrace of the eunuch and of a foreign eunuch at that shows that the promised age of restoration has begun to dawn. So he starts in Isaiah 53, which is known as some of the suffering servant passages. We understand it as Christians to point to Jesus. It's often some of what we hear at Christmas time. And while it's unlikely that the prophet who originally wrote the words that these two men are studying together was pointing directly at Jesus, Philip sees this. Hears those words just as we hear them, and it's hard not to think of Jesus. It's hard not to think of the world being turned upside down and boundaries continuing to be erased. And I love verse 35, if I can find it. It says, after the eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? It says this, then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. If verse 53 says something about Jesus, my guess is, and we don't have the conversation as much as I wish we did, but in 55, in Isaiah 55, we hear about the covenant of David and who is included, an invitation to abundant life. And it says, incline your ear and come to me, listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Perhaps just as Philip ran to the chariot. And then my guess is that Philip continued to read, because we hear this in chapter 56, just a few chapters later. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. No pun intended. Truly.
Imagine
you are the eunuch hearing that for the first time. That you, who was not even allowed to worship within the walls of the temple, for you walls will be built and you are welcome. Boundaries continue to be broken. The church continues to expand, and the work continues today. I do not take it lightly that this story of this boundary-breaking God, this invitation into God's love and grace, is given to a black sexual minority. Oh, that that word could be heard more often today from the pulpits and pews of our churches. And what a lovely thing that Philip and the eunuch do, that the eunuch invites him in to sit next to him as they read scripture together. It gives them opportunity to share one another's story and for the eunuch to recognize a place for himself in the grace of the Christian community. And he's compelled to be a part of it. It is important that churches like Madison Square are vocal and not just supportive, but are advocates for full inclusion. Imagine, I can only imagine what it is for some of you to hear children of God or people of God, welcome home. Because there is a place for you. There is no exception to God's love and grace. Jesus erases those boundaries. And the story continues to be miraculous. They're in the wilderness, they're in the desert, and suddenly water appears. And the eunuch asks a profound, if not innocent, question: what is to prevent me from being baptized? Did you notice it's at the eunuch's initiative? It takes the eunuch to remind Philip that he can be included into the community of faith, even though Philip has shared the good news of God's grace and love through the life of Jesus. Sometimes it just takes a simple question to get us out of our habits and our status quo, and it just takes a, well, why not me too? What's to prevent me from being included? And Philip then says, but of course. And they both get out of the chariot and immerse themselves in this miraculous baptismal water. In the baptism, the eunuch adds his own yes to the divine yes that suffuses Jesus' life and the good news that has been proclaimed. I think this is the sort of passage that should hold up a mirror to us, especially for those of us in well-ordered denominations with extensive procedures and protocols, for those being entrusted with the gospel message. If it says anything to us, it says that God will not wait on us. Sometimes we'll move around us, even though we might be appointed to preach and we're still hanging back in Jerusalem. We'll send someone else, God's Spirit will. And then in that interaction with the eunuch, the church in Africa grows because of the eunuch, not the apostles back in Jerusalem. God doesn't always wait for us or use our structures or our status quo. To fully preach the gospel, then, I think says that we need one another. And more particularly, perhaps we need the stranger or the one outside the walls of our own churches. God sends Philip to seek out the strange stranger because God is nothing if not consistent in seeking out the strange, the unique, the peculiar. And then together we wonder, how can we understand this wild and strange world unless someone guides us? How do I know exactly what is good news to you unless I know you? How do I know what is good news to people outside of these walls unless I get to know them? Unless we break down some barriers and boundaries. To fully preach the gospel to one another, we need others to shout amen when we're on course and, wait a minute, make it plain and simple when we stray from the course. To fully preach the gospel, we need to sit side by side with people wildly different from us. It might mean we need to watch TV that isn't of our particular persuasion, or read newspapers that don't take our viewpoint, or find multiple sources of input to fully and more fully understand the world. It might mean risking the courage that Jen mentioned and walking up to someone who doesn't look an awful lot like us and learning about them. It means maybe going out to the wilderness a little bit and finding the most interesting person in the room to sit with. When we sit side by side with a strange stranger and examine scriptures together, maybe we can offer people some sustaining good news. To fully preach the gospel, we will sit side by side because it's only in sitting side by side that we can see how God is at work in the lives of others. And if we can't see God at work in the lives of others, how on earth are we going to preach good news to them? The story ends much as it began. God seeing to it that the gospel rushes to the ends of the earth, even as those commissioned for what particular job sits at home in Jerusalem. As I mentioned, the eunuch himself will take the message into Africa, and the Spirit whisks Philip away to preach on farther shores of the Mediterranean. And so where might the Spirit whisk us? Who might be those strange strangers that we need to sit beside to offer the good news? Amen.